Listen, on that note, we will go to the action agenda. At this point, we can open up any public comments. Anyone would like to make any statements regarding any matter? Okay, we're going to close public comments. We have the minutes of July 17th, 2013.
Motion to be approved.
Check.
Any amendments to it? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, first item. We have commemorative naming. Mr. Whitworth, do you want to...
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Before you is the naming of a bridge on Route 250 down in Highland County to name it the Highland Veteran Memorial Bridge. And this comes with a recommendation and from that County Board of Supervisors. I so move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Programming Division. You don't look like Ms. Mitchell.
No, I do not. I was asked to make presentation today on behalf of programming. I have three items to bring to the board today. The first being transfers. This is for new board members. This is a routine action each at board meetings where we are transferring balances off of completed projects onto other projects that are currently in the six-year plan. The movement of these funds is almost completely within a particular construction district. And again, I ask for your consideration and approval.
We have a motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The second item is new projects added to the six-year plan. And again, for new board members, this does happen throughout the fiscal year where we have projects that come forward that we request approval to be added to the six-year plan. In the case of these projects, there are existing balances that are, it's different from transfers because, again, these are new projects being added to the plan. They are being funded out of existing balances on projects. The four projects are listed and are all in Northern Virginia, and I ask for your consideration.
A motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
And then the last item that I have is utilization of available federal funds and obligation authority. And as the board is aware, we were the recipients of a little over $57 million, an opportunity for $57 million in what's called bonus obligation authority. Very simply, throughout the United States, states that do not obligate their money. And the best way of me describing obligate means actually putting the money to work, whether put it to work in engineering, put it to work in right-of-way, or put it to work in terms of a construction contract. It's not to park it on a project that would happen some point in the future. Because of our aggressive program and our focus on ensuring that we obligate all of our federal resources, we're invited to request additional funding. It comes very quickly. It comes right at the end of the federal fiscal year ends the end of this month. It comes very quickly at us, and pleased to again announce that we received the opportunity for over $57 million. This resolution, I'll call it, cleans up and makes clear the board's intention. We've been able to obligate this money immediately, and as part of that are developing additional rehabilitative paving and bridge contracts that will go out this fall. So again, I ask your consideration.
Mr. Sterling.
Yeah, on it, as I looked at the things that the funding was going to go towards, and as you just stated, for the fall, we're going to put this towards projects that's got to be obligated by the beginning of the fiscal year or the end of the fiscal year, correct?
Yes, sir.
Does that then replace some projects that we were going to fund next year, or it moves some of those forward, and then what does that do in terms of the additional projects that would backfill those under our plan?
And actually what we're doing is you obligate, what we're able to do is free up funding
right.
That now we're putting out these additional contracts. So you take the federal money, you put it on existing contracts because you can do that immediately.
Right.
And that creates that the ability then to put additional contracts on the street. The additional projects we put out will also be federally eligible, although they're not using federal dollars at this time. So it's this process. We try to, in the ideal condition on the entire federal program, you would expend the money, and that you would what's called AC to convert the money as soon as federal dollars become available. So you're sort of doing that in arrears, and what that allows you to do is very quickly obligate federal dollars when they become available. And that's what we're doing here. So we have taken the $57 million and taken projects that we had under contract, replaced that, freed up $57 million to apply to additional resurfacing and rehabilitation, paving and bridge contracts.
Oh, so these are additional ones coming.
Yes, this is
displaced funding.
Yeah, so what you're what we're doing is more work. The net result of it, again, I've talked a little bit about how the money moves around, but the net result of this is more work.
Right, so moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. DeBrule, local assistance.
Good morning. I have three items for you this morning. The first is a revenue sharing reallocation. The town of Bedford's requesting a reallocation of a portion of the funding from their Old Turnpike project to the Blue Ridge Avenue project, which will allow that project to be advertised along with a project that Bedford County has in the same area. So it basically accelerates the project, and we recommend your approval.
Mr. Fraland.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Next item is an economic development access deallocation. We brought you a recommendation to allocate funding to a prospective business in Greensville County back in 2009. That business is now no longer coming to Greensville, and the county has requested deallocation of funds that were previously allocated so that we could return that to the EDA program. That would be $304,000 coming back to the program, and we recommend your approval.
Mr. Lane.
Regrettably, I recommend approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Doors.
All those opposed?
They didn't come.
Thank you.
Last item is the transportation alternatives allocations for the Northern Virginia Transportation Management Area. I brought you the recommendation for how we would allocate the transportation enhancement, or I'm sorry, the alternative funding for the rest of the state back in June. The portion that was sub-allocated to the Northern Virginia area went through the process at the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. They've just recently completed their selections, and I'm presenting those to you today for your concurrence and approval.
Ms. Fisher.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, while Ms.
Yes.
Rule's up here, could we take up this enhancement grant since she's responsible for this? Would that be okay? It's the one I was going to bring up on our
sure.
New business.
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Poole, would you explain to them what we're doing?
The new business item is a request for economic development access funds by the City of Virginia Beach. They have a business, the Green Flash Brewing Company, that wants to locate in the city. It would be $453,000 in transportation improvements related to the location of that business in the city, and we recommend your approval.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Law.
I'm going to abstain on this vote because I have an economic interest in a head-to-head competitor in the region.
Okay.
I do want to disclose that I am going to abstain, but let me say one thing. It sort of goes back to the rail enhancement funds and any funds that we use to sort of incent businesses to come to Commonwealth or expand or whatever. And for a number of years, I served as the chairman of the Economic Development Authority in the city of Norfolk. And I currently serve as the chairman of a new market tax credit firm called Hampton Roads Ventures that uses new market tax credits to incent businesses to do things that they otherwise would not do. I've been an advocate for a long time and certainly over the last year to sort of apply somehow, and it's difficult to do, and I understand that, a but-for test, but-for meaning they wouldn't come but for this contribution, so that we're really getting something for our contribution, that we get them over the hump, that the deal would not get done if they didn't get the contribution. Otherwise, we're just giving away money to people that were going to do something otherwise, and that's not what the what the intent of the program ought to be. I could probably make the case that Green Flash Brewing has already announced that they're coming. They're coming regardless of this grant. And I don't want to hold this one up, particularly since I have a conflict of interest. But I think it's important as we go forward that we think about that a little bit more clearly and try to find a way, and it is difficult, I understand that, but try to find a way that we're ensuring that whether it's $400,000 or $1 million or $10, that we're not just giving money to somebody that's already going to do something anyway. That's not a good use of the Commonwealth's money. And perhaps that is or is not the case here, but I don't see that in our analysis anyway. And that concerns me. So with that, I'm going to remove myself from the discussion and from the vote. And again, has nothing to do with the Green Flash project. But any project we do, whether it's Rail Enhancement Fund, whatever it is, it should be tied to the deal won't get done unless we do X, Y, Z. And then it becomes a good use of the Commonwealth's money or the citizens' money. The deal's going to happen anyway. I don't see that's a good use.
Appreciate that, Mr. Miller. Ms. Lauterbach?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of quick questions, Jennifer. One is, what is the is this a new company, from what I gather, coming into the area? Are they coming into an existing facility?
No, it's actually a greenfield right now, and what the money would do is provide roadway access off of Corporate Landing Drive to this new facility and would also allow for some transportation improvements at the intersection of Corporate Landing and General Booth Boulevard. And so it's not an existing facility or building. They're actually constructing a new facility there.
Okay, and how many people are they projected to employ?
For the EDA program, we don't look at employment. We look at the dollar value of the investment. So in order to get the $453,000 in transportation improvements, they have to show a 5-to-1 return on the investment. So they're investing over $2 million in the city of Virginia Beach. That's dollar value of investment. We don't look at necessarily at the employment. But we're looking.
But do you happen to know how many people they're going to employ?
I don't off the top of my
head. I do. It's about 50.
50?
50, sure. Okay. And one last thing is that this road improvement, how much is the total cost? We're not paying the total amount. They're paying something of this improvement?
There are some elements that do not qualify for the program. We just look at those elements that do qualify, and the total value of those is $453,000. There were some other elements having to do with utilities and site prep that aren't eligible for the program, and those were a couple hundred thousand additional dollars.
Mr. Sterling?
Has Virginia Economic Development Partnership weighed in on this?
We consult with them before we bring any application to you with a recommendation. So it is a qualifying business, and they've been a part of this discussion.
Have they put in anything? Governor Opportunity Fund or otherwise?
Not sure.
Don't think so. I think the city, it was all the city's economic development. City did.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. One point I just want to add for my colleagues is that this application also opens up an additional 40 acres to Corporate Landing, which currently is not accessible right now. So by providing these road improvements and road extension, it will open up an additional area for further economic development, which is currently not available. So I just wanted to add that in your consideration for your vote.
Mr. Lane, you making a motion?
Well,
I'm sorry, Mr. Sterling.
Sterling has something else you want to say.
Sterling?
Well, on that, I mean, why doesn't the developer put that in there?
They are participating.
Yes.
They are.
But the city would control those additional 40 acres. So this is, that's above and beyond this particular development itself. So that would be for future opportunities.
This is a foreign investment in the area.
They are proper city.
Yes. Yeah. So with discussion, Mr. Chairman, I move for approval.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Please note for the record, Mr. Miller has abstained. Right of way, Mr. Walton.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have two items for you today. The first is an adjustment and a limited access for a developer in the Spotsylvania County area. It is supported by Spotsylvania County. It's basically just adjusting a limited access break that is there today, and we'd ask for your approval.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
The second item is in Loudoun County at Route 7. We're asking the board to actually designate the limited access features of this interchange. It's presently an intersection that will become an interchange, and we would ask for your designation of the limited access features.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Okay, public-private partnerships 460, Mr. Holcomb.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I have one item. In June, you passed a resolution delegating authority to Commissioner for the award and execution of the contract for the 460 Connector Phase 2 in Buckhannon County. As part of a requirement of that resolution, we have to come back in front of you, and the Commissioner has asked me to come back in front of you and give you some information about the contract itself and ask for your affirmation of the 460 contract. This project was a coal synergy contract similar to what the Coalfields Expressway, and that's why my office is involved. We helped in the negotiations of the project itself. 6.2 miles of Corridor Q is going to be built to rough grade roadbed, similar, like I said, to the Coalfields Expressway. Scope of the project includes permitting, utility relocations, mineral acquisition and extraction, right-of-way acquisition, stormwater management, similar items that you would see on a roadway project. The contract utilizes VDOT's design-build template, except for modifications that we made specific to the coal synergy aspect of the project. Contract was executed on July 31st for $108 million. If we would have done this on the traditional method to get to a rough grade roadbed, it's estimated that it would have cost $266 million. So we believe that there was a 53% savings with the negotiations that we had for the coal synergy. The effective date of the contract was August 5th. Notice to proceed per design was on that same day. Construction is going to start probably in the 2015 time period. Right now we're going through the design development process, and we anticipate May of 2018 for completion of the project. And with that, Mr. Secretary, I turn it back to you for the resolution.
So if we don't affirm this, Mr. Worley goes to jail or something like that?
I would say that he does not go to jail, but we would certainly have to reach out to you and the other board members to help you out in the affirmation of the project, and or there are provisions for termination.
Mr. Matney.
Yes, I would actually defer this to Mr. Martin.
Oh, yes.
So I'm saying I'm voting on this.
Yes. Mr. Martin. Sorry. Mr. Martin.
He's not here anymore. Mr. Fralin?
Who? Mr. Martin.
Oh, Sonny Martin. Sonny Martin. That Martin. That Martin.
The other Martin.
The other.
Sorry.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Please note, all those opposed. Okay, please note for the record that Mr. Matney didn't participate in the vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Administrative services. Land disposition.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we're seeking your approval to surplus and sell our old Franklin residency site located in the city of Franklin.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Excellent presentation.
Thank you very much.
All right. Garvey sales.
Refer to Mr. Farrell.
Any other questions for Mr. Lawson? Do we have a motion? Mr. Lane, would that be
so you? Moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Scheduling contracts. Mr. Moore. How are you?
Morning, Mr. Secretary, Chairman, and members of the board. This morning bring to you from the August letting, 66 total projects, 65 are design bid build, one is design build, totaling $180.7 million. The action that will be first action we'll be requesting is six projects are over $5 million, requiring CTB approval. The total dollar value requiring CTB approval is approximately $85 million. We'll also ask you to affirm the I-66 widening design build project from Garrisonville to Haymarket delegated to the commissioner in the July's meeting, which he awarded on August 13th. Thank you. This saved us over a month in schedule, so very much appreciate that. In addition, just to let you know where we are, we anticipate letting about $150 million in September. As of September 15th, we have advertised $1.76 billion of the $2.2 billion that we will advertise by December 31st. So we're well, you know, we're on track and maybe even a little ahead of where we thought we'd be. So we'd ask your action.
Are there any questions about any of the projects?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Miller.
On the ballot threshold report, there's one, and I'm going to recuse myself again. On the ballot threshold report, there's one on page 21 that you're recommending rejection of the bid, I guess. Can you speak to that? What, there's no comment as to why you reject and everything else is being recommended.
Mr. Orr?
I do not have that one. I can go back and get that for you. 2.797, and from the six-year plan, 2.54. The construction, it's overbid. It's over.
It's over your estimate.
It's over our estimate.
So that's probably why you.
Yes, sir. And that's routinely if it's over 7%.
I'm gonna recuse myself from this vote. The principal of that organization, I sold some property to in the last year or so. So I don't think it's appropriate for me to vote on this. But I was just curious as to why it was rejected.
We have a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Ellison.
Yes. Moore, would they be the only sole bidder on this project? Was everybody else higher than?
Two bidders.
Okay, and he was the low bidder.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So, and that may mean we may need to go back and do something as well.
Okay.
Any other questions? We have a motion.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Please note for the record that Mr. Miller did not participate in the vote. New business?
Mr. Chairman, I know we're done. I just want to make one comment on this enhancement grant. I happen to ascribe to the philosophy Mr. Miller pointed out. The issue, this is a federal program, though. If we don't use it, somewhat, you know, other states get it. And that's one of the difficulties that, I mean, specifically set aside for this purpose. So I just throw that into the mix of the conversation in that regard, is that they're specifically set aside whether we like it or not. And I'm a little more up to, well, very practical, but I happen to agree with the concept of the but-for. And I just wanted to let my fellow board members know, particularly the new ones, that that's what we find in transportation. These specific uses, either we use them or we lose them. And from a taxpayer, I may have a different view, but from
it's sort of like the Medicaid discussion. But the problem is we're skewing the free marketplace. Okay, we've got a free market that works, and we're giving one entity a handout, if you will, or a hand, and not to another entity. And we're using taxpayer dollars to do that. So it's difficult to start down that road to begin with, because why does one group get it, another group doesn't, but they're similarly situated, if you will. But then, sort of secondarily, and Aubrey and I agree with most of this stuff, secondarily, how do you stop the federal government, if you will? You know, what message do you send to the federal government that you're going to spend the money regardless because they gave it to you? And that's a difficult sort of argument. I get that. You know, you're sort of tilting at windmills and swimming upstream. But, if, you know, as a free market guy, it's hard for me to say I'm going to give money that they don't need, that doesn't change their behavior, because I have it to give. You know, that bothers me in terms of keeping the markets working and keeping them free and having competition work, as opposed to the hand of the government getting in there and deciding winners and losers. So I hear, you know, I'm torn like Mr. Lane is. You know, what do we do with that money? I guess I would say, let's go find some projects and get them here that need that money, and then I'm a little bit more comfortable with it. It still is picking winners and losers. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, if you have a competitive organization, if you got one car dealer on one side of the street, and you give money to another car dealer from the government to locate across the street, why are we in that business? You know, and yet, as an economic development person for a number of years, I sort of, you know, I'm sort of on the other side of the fence too. So it's not a good place to be, I understand. I'm sort of arguing both ways, but it fundamentally bothers me when the government reaches its hand in and starts picking winners and losers in the private marketplace, and particularly when they don't need it to create that economic activity. So I don't know the answer. But I do think I've raised this issue with rail access funds, rail enhancement grants, or whatever the proper terminology is. I want to use money wisely to lever and to change behavior to the benefit of citizenry. When we do it just to help an individual entity that doesn't change their behavior, I don't see how we say that's good use of taxpayer money. So I would like to see us sort of grapple with this in a non-specific way, non-specific to any project. I know I've raised this some months back at our, probably 6 months ago with the rail. I'm not sure where that's heading, but this is no different than that. You know, it's a difficult, slippery slope.
If I might suggest, just like on the enhancement program in general, where we kind of set up here the parameters, the metrics, the what we go toward, when it comes to funding for economic development activities, whether it's rail enhancement, whether it's this enhancement or other things, we probably could and should explore, here's what we use. I think we do to a certain extent already. Does it qualify? But it might be in measured in terms of, you know, how does it score against other things? These come at us not like the broader enhancement program where every year we take a look at all of them and then we choose who the winners are based on an evaluation and scoring. These come at us one off. So it's not that they don't really compete against
and
other
things. The bigger enhancement programs aren't for
economic development.
They're not for
they're more for community upgrades and things of that nature. I understand that, but I guess what I'm suggesting is if there's a way, and there may not be, to have these packaged to where we look at them in a year and we say, okay, here's all the applications for economic development grants of one sort or another. Here's the best payoff ones, and these are where we apply the resources. That might be the best way, but I don't know if it's doable because these things tend to come up from communities or the state.
My, you know, and the rail access thing's a little different to Mr. Fralin's point on what he made earlier today. You know, we're trying to serve our own interests, in essence, the taxpayers' interests, by getting, by having to build less roads,
and
using more rail. And that's a good thing, but it's not a good thing if it was going to happen without our money. The behavior was going to occur regardless. Why do you give money to for that point? So that bothers me about that. These are very different because these are for-profit businesses. They're for-profits, and we pick one and say we're going to help you. Why don't we pick the other one and say we're going to help you? Because they have needs like everybody else.
No, I agree 100% with the sentiment you put forward earlier. I work with a number of Fortune 500 companies, the CEOs, and I can tell you that the things they look at when they're locating a facility, putting a new plant, new whatever it is, the things they look at and take into consideration, how much cash we put on the table, it is not even a consideration. It's like they make a decision. They don't necessarily announce it or tell you. They make a decision, and then they come back behind it, and they try to get a little bit more, including the cash. So it doesn't necessarily, it's not determined
so
their decision.
If I'm a good poker player, I just say no.
But here's the other side is, we ought to prospectively, these projects that
Jennifer, they meet the rules.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I understand. I just don't like the rules
going forward. That's all I'm saying. Let's change them, but we can't penalize them because, in my way, they meet the rules.
That's why I didn't vote no.
I understand, but I mean, that's really...
Ms. Fisher?
Yeah, to talk about the high-level concept of free market or competitiveness, I think it serves us to look at the fact that these particular companies in relocating sought out the economic development dollars. There could be 10 other companies that didn't bother to look, didn't bother to find out that they could get this assistance, and in that way you're looking at a free market even though we're giving assistance to them.
Only if it's before the fact and before they make the decision.
Does
the decision's been made?
I think that's quibbling to some degree. I agree with your sentiment about what our intent should be, but I think it's quibbling to say if it's before or after. They're still looking for the competitive advantage and trying to take advantage of what's available to them to make the business decision, and that is exactly how the free market should work.
Ms. Trek, and then come back to the
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as food for thought, and I can only comment on the rail program, so I don't really know about this particular program today. But it's a fund that's been established by the General Assembly for the purpose of encouraging additional movement by freight. So the money's available to anyone who wants to apply for it. The agency looks at those applications. They have to score within a particular level as far as their investment in the project, their movement of freight. If they don't meet that at the end of the five-year period, they're required to pay back. So it's an available program for people to use to encourage what Virginia wants, which is trucks off the road and moving more products by freight.
And I'm 100% in favor of that as long as it encourages them to do something that's to our benefit that they otherwise would not do.
And we negotiate because the rail enhancement specifically is a third required 30% match. Our average is about 44% match that we're getting because we try to get as much as we can.
The key
but you
for
also
me,
want the improvement.
And I'm going to leave it alone, but the key for me, I want to be clear, and I don't think it's quibbling. The key for me is, would they do that otherwise? If they come to us and say, I will come to your city or I'll do whatever it is you want me to do, but I can't afford to do it, my numbers don't work, and I need X in order to do that, and we negotiate that, and we believe that they wouldn't do it otherwise, and we agree to do it, I'm fine with that. But when they say, I'm doing X, Y, Z, this is what I'm going to do. Oh, I found about this program. Can you give me $500,000? That is not a good use of taxpayer money. It's, with due respect, Frank, that's not quibbling. That's just giving money away. And I don't think that's good use of my money.
Stiller?
Particularly, sort of taking on that note, if we could have then used that $500,000 or whatever number is to actually incentivize somebody who otherwise wouldn't have. And while I haven't seen this much debate on an issue that we've taken up after we've already voted on it, and this is kind of a philosophical debate that I think is in the governor's race, but I would point out that one of the other elements here that I always get a little bit nervous about whenever we're talking about economic development incentives is you're taking from the broader community and the competitors in many cases to help incentivize a new competitor, and
exactly.
I get a little uneasy on that aspect too.
But again, this gets back to what is our role as a CTB?
Infrastructure.
Allocate monies based on the parameters. It's like the current situation in the Attorney General's office. I mean, we don't get to pick and choose what cases we like. And I know that's going to get me in trouble. But the point is...
You might want to stop there.
I know. The point is that we didn't make the rules on what they are.
Yeah.
If they change them, I'm all...
We do make some of those rules.
I understand. I'm with you. We change it. My point is, though, it's a federal program. I don't like it the way it's set up, but I don't think it's as cut and dry as not just like the... Look, the CMAQ funds when we had the greenhouse emissions with the vehicles. I mean, I know, but I don't like it, but the rules allow them to do it.
Yeah.
So change the rules, and I'll vote against it. That's all I'm saying. I mean, and that may be a little more practical, but I do think people say, I know that in this case, I think we can get some road access monies, too, to enhance your road. I don't know if they did it before or after, Chef. I don't know that, because I don't know. But I do know that the cities view this as part of an enticement to get people in.
Okay, and well, I wasn't quibbling about intent.
I'm sorry.
Quibbling
about
when the decision is being made.
Sorry.
Ms. Fisher, and then we'll see if there any new business on the new business.
That was it.
Excellent. Any other new business? Okay, well, maybe just leave it off in the meeting with this. We had some discussion last night about
wallops.
Does the board really like to go to wallops?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, absolutely, yeah. Okay.
You excited about that, Mr. Worley?
I'm excited to see whether we can organize this thing.
Yeah, so listen, we will take a shot at October. We have two more launches coming. Well, we have one, hopefully, in about 15 minutes.
Can we make it?
We have two more launches going for this year. They're coming actually at the end of November, December. But listen, what we're trying to do is we'll see if we can do the October meeting of wallops. It's obviously going to be a little bit of an issue on logistics. We'll have to fly out there, everyone. They have a facility. We're going to have to see logistically we can pull it off. But if we can, we'll shoot for.
Can you remind me of the date of that meeting?
It's the 16th? Yeah, October 16th. Mr. Cole?
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I did have one item of new business. Could we, in one of our future meetings, number one, get a little bit of a report on how the sponsorship program, the rest area sponsorship program, is proceeding, and are there other opportunities from a sponsorship and naming rights?
Because I haven't seen any visibility on the naming rights or what happened with our highway and. Huh? Yeah, we'd love to hear about this. Thank you. That'd be great. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Yes, Ms. Drake.
You have a meeting in
Yes.
You participate in, but that's in the morning. So just to let you know.
I have to give a speech.
Usually it's 2 days when we...
I have to be in an event that 16th morning, but I mean,
While we're talking about logistics, I don't want to be the skunk at the garden party. Some of us that have to come some distance to Richmond, at least I do, schedule other things around the meetings too, so a little more notice would be better, but I'll make it work.
I would echo that.
Sure. Well, if you don't want to go.
There's lots to do around the walls.
Again, I just people we're
I'm
just
all about going. I'm all for it.
Just take the date.
All right. Well, it would be the 16th because that's our date. So we would do it. I mean, I some things I might have to. I have to do this thing that morning, but we can fly right out because it's right next to Manassas Airport. So we can do it. We could do potentially a Wednesday, Thursday. Right.
I guess 16, what I'm saying 17. Is the wall of silence not going anywhere.
No. So we'll look at the October. We'll look at November. Okay?
I know. I've seen those.
But the thing
is
obviously...
There's
no
November
meeting?
That's what I understand.
And then December is obviously the transportation conference. Right. And that will be in Richmond. Sure. So we'll take a look at October. And we'll see what I'll try to make the dates work. Obviously, now the facility it does pull money now out of the Transportation Trust Fund, and we have been giving them a lot of assistance in helping them get the facility up and running. So it would be appropriate for us to come out and see it. I think what we'd be able to see is obviously our liquid and our solid fuel launch facilities, go over and actually see them putting together the Antares rockets, which is there at the integration facility, go through the control center, and the really cool part is the red button that they press to blow up the thing in case something bad happens, which will not happen today. And but it's a great facility. I mean, we've made enormous step forward out there. And so we'll shoot for October. If we can't do it, then it'll have to be potentially January. And I ain't going to be here. So, no other issues? Thank you all very much. That adjourns the meeting. We'll see hopefully everyone in October.